verses in the book of Acts, chapter number 10, really should take the time to read verses 1 through 34. That's a lot of verses, but I will not read all of those. I'll be touching points of some of these verses. But as I was looking, even this morning, as looking over some things, I thought about this message that we take for granted a lot of times, the working of the Lord. And this is the story of the conversion of the man by the name of Cornelius. He is considered the first Gentile of any magnitude and a group that would be called and come unto the Lord for salvation. And we take that for granted, but I wrote down here, even after it all printed out, I wrote a little sub-note here. This might be the most important 20 to 24 hours in Gentile history. What we read here is the conversion of this man that was a religious man, but he was not. He did not have the knowledge of real salvation. He was a good man. He was a moral man. And he was a man that was in authority. And I thought also that have come to know the Lord that needed God. There's been a lot of good people that, as far as the world's concerned, had that one thing lacking in their life, and that of salvation. Not too long ago, just a week or so back, maybe even last week, we dealt with the man in the Old Testament by the name of Naaman. He was a very strong individual. He's a very well-liked general of the Syrian army, but he was a leper, and he needed the Lord. And God used circumstances to bring him to a understanding of who the God of the Hebrews was. In the New Testament, we have the man by the name of Saul, a very devout religious individual, and he was a ruler in the Jews' religion. He himself calls himself a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was raised a Pharisee. His family was in that religious sect as being very strict in religious Jewish doctrine, but yet he did not know God. And in chapter 8 of Acts, we find Saul coming to know the true God whom he was fighting against and even was trying to destroy. And the Lord said, "Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And so we find that these men are men that are religious and have their good traits about them, but they needed God. I can think of some folks in my life, and you can probably think of individuals in your life that have been good people, influential in the lives of people, but they just really do not know the real meaning of salvation. And so they're lacking in the same area that that these two that we just mentioned. But when you come to Acts chapter number 10, the Bible says in verse number 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. Now that band there means that he had a group of men under him, and most people that have studied this think that he probably had anywhere from 500 to 700 men under his authority. So he is a very strong man, individual. The scripture says in verse number 2 that he was a devout man. I mean, he was devoted in what he was doing, and one that feared God. He had an understanding of God, even though he was a Roman. Even though he was a Roman soldier and commanded those multiples of men, he had an understanding in his head about who God was, and he feared God. And the Bible says with all of his house. So he had a household that was fearful to the things of the Lord. And the scripture says that he gave much alms to people and prayed to God always. And he saw in a vision, evidently, about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, "Cornelius." And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said unto him, "Thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside, and he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do." Here we find the angel of the Lord coming to this devout religious man that was very giving in his heart and in his life. Even though he was a Roman soldier and probably was hated by most of the Jews, here's a man that feared the Lord. Here's a man that knew there was something different than maybe anybody else around him that knew he's a Gentile. He's a man that is in great authority over others, and his household was a very religious household. But the angel of the Lord came to him and gave him instruction what needed to be done. And the scripture says he did this in verse number 3 about the ninth hour. Now the ninth hour is 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They counted their time from 6 o'clock in the morning, so the ninth hour, be 3 o'clock in the afternoon. As he was there, the angel comes and gives him instructions and tells him what to do. He said, "You send men to Joppa, and there you'll find this individual called Simon, whose surname is Peter." And the angel is very specific where he can find him. He's in another man's house, lodging there. He's Simon the Tanner, and it's by the seaside, and that's the Mediterranean Sea. If you look on a map, you'll find that Caesarea is about 30 miles from Joppa. And to you and I, that's not a long distance. We can get from here to Henderson in just a few moments, just a little while, according to how you drive. Some get there in 20 minutes, some get there in 30, some get there in 40, according to how you drive. According to how many lights are out there, I guess we would say. And so we have that distance that we can get there real quick. But they didn't have what we have. And the scripture, if you go on and read, in verse number 9 says, "On the morrow, as they went on their journey, they drew nigh to the city. Peter went up unto the housetop to pray about the sixth hour." So the next day around noon, Peter goes, finds a place. He has no idea that these men are coming toward him. And he goes up to the rooftop, and he goes to pray. Now, we're not going to read all these verses, but as he is there praying, God reveals to Peter a vision. And he sees a sheet that has all manner of different animals that are on that sheet that comes down in front of Peter. And he's looking upon that, and he is hungry. The Bible tells us there at the noon hour he becomes hungry, and he falls into a trance, and he sees this vision, and the angel tells him he saw the heaven open, and the voice tells him to take and to eat. Verse 13, "There arose a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat." So here's a Jew that's looking upon all manner of food, living food, alive, and it's there on a sheet presented to him, and everything is there, and the voice says to Peter, "Now you arise, you kill, you eat." You'll notice the next verse, Peter says, "Not so, Lord." Peter's always very presumptuous and always very forceful in his words, and he just says, I'm not going to do that. I have never had anything come to my mouth." And he said, "I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." Now the Lord is giving Peter this vision to prepare him for these men that are coming as a Gentile soldier. He is being prepared and to understand that there's nothing common, there's nothing unclean of what God has made. You see, the Jews were very prejudiced in their life. Up until this point, the gospel has only been preached primarily to the Jews and also to the Samaritans, which were half Jews. They have the incident there that gives us the incident of going when Philip goes down to the Ethiopian. But primarily, the gospel has been preached only to Jews. The church of Jerusalem was a Jewish church. The people that had heard the gospel were those that had been of the people of Israel. Now, Cornelius, he's different. He's not a Jew. He's a Gentile. And the Lord is using this to Peter to make him understand that there's nothing unclean. There's nothing common. Gentiles are not common. They're not dogs as they were taught that they were. They are people that need the gospel just like the Jews needed. And that's why I put up here as a little footnote, this might be the most important 20 to 24 hours in Gentile history, because in this, God opens the heart of, I believe, probably the most prejudiced person of the Jews' religion and of the salvation that had been given to him. Peter was very prejudiced. I'm a Jew. I'm proud of it. And I'm never going to do anything that's common or unclean. And so the Lord shows him this. He puts him in a trance. He sees the vision of all kind of animals and creeping things. And he says, now you rise, you kill, you eat. And he says, not me. I'm not going to do that. I've never had anything that is common or unclean that I have taken. Verse number 4, and the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call thou not common. What God is going to deal with, what God is going to do, Peter, don't call it common. Don't call it unclean. Don't call it insignificant. And in Peter's mind and in his life, and much of the Jews at that time, a Gentile was very insignificant. A Gentile was considered to be nothing more than a dog that walked the grounds. They were nothing. And so the Lord is working in Cornelius' life, and he sends two men to Joppa to meet this man, Peter, and the Lord is working in Peter's life so that he'll give him the message of salvation. Thank God he did. You and I, and he has just, in the chapter before, he has just saved this other very prejudiced man named Saul, who later became the Apostle Paul, who God used to give us most of the New Testament that we have before us. And so the Lord can overshadow our prejudices. The Lord can overtake those things that have been implanted, embedded in our minds. If I was to go around the auditorium this morning, if you was to talk to me, we would find out that we have a lot of different prejudices. We have them. And it may be different for you than for me. But I'll tell you what, much of what we have in our heart and our lives as prejudice have been put in there from generations gone by and have been handed down from generation to generation. And many of them are foreign to the Word of God. And sometimes we have to get over our prejudices. Sometimes we have to get over those barriers. They need to come down so the blessings of the Lord can come down. If Peter had never did what the voice told him to do, Cornelius might have died without God. Even though he was a devout man, even though he was a religious man, he was a man of character. He was devout. He feared God with all of his house. He was a man of charity because he gave alms of all the people. He was a man of communion because he prayed to the Lord continually. Cornelius was a mighty man because he's a centurion. He was a ruler. He was a moral man. The Bible says he was a just man and one who feared God. He was a man that was a model because the Bible says here he was of good reputation among all the nation of the Jews. Now, that was very uncommon. Here's a Gentile, and he has good rapport with the Jews. The Jews hated Roman soldiers, and rightfully so. If you'll read the history of the Roman government and the Roman centurions, they were very cruel in their dealings with the Jews. They hated the Jews. They were overseers of the Jews. And when Jesus was born, Rome was in control of all of Israel. And they were hated. That's why Zacchaeus, such a man that he was, as a tax collector, He was a Jew that was working for the Roman government, and they hated him. Anything Roman was hated by the Jews. Anything Jewish was hated by the Romans. But here's a man that has a little different character about him, and I believe it comes down to the point that he feared God. He knew something that those folks are humans like I am, and he gave alms and he prayed to the Lord, and he had a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews. Yet in spite of that, Cornelius was a lost Gentile. In spite of all the good things that he had, he was lost and he needed God, even to the point that the Lord had to work in the heart of a Jew that was saved. So Cornelius is the sinner and Peter becomes the servant of the Lord. And as you read this, you find that he says in verse number 29, "Therefore came I to you without gainsaying as soon as I was sent. For I ask therefore for what intent you have sent for me." Here we find that Peter goes now to Cornelius. And Peter said, "I want to know why you wanted me." And Cornelius waits for them there in verse number 24. God has already revealed to Peter some things that was in his life that needed to be changed. And while Peter doubted about that in verse number 17, there's a knock on the door. While Peter's trying to figure out what the Lord is showing him, there's a knock on the door. And here's these two men from Joppa that are Gentiles. And they knock on Peter's door and they tell him where they're from. And Peter thought on the vision, verse 19, the Spirit said unto him, "Behold, three men seek thee." Not three men come after. Three men are looking for you, Peter. And you're going to understand why I gave you this vision. And so Peter becomes the servant of the Lord. He becomes that one that God is going to use to bring about salvation and to open up the entire group of people that we are of called Gentiles. Now, it should not have been that way, for the Jews had the Old Testament. They had the book of Isaiah. We had our Sunday school lesson this morning out of the book of Isaiah. The Jews had those scrolls. They would go to their synagogue. They would worship God. And they had all the Old Testament writings. And they should have known that the Gentiles were not dogs, that the Gentiles one day would come into the knowledge of the God of heaven. If you turn to Isaiah 49 and chapter 60 and chapter 62, Malachi chapter 1, you'll find time and time and time again God reveals to the Jews that the Gentiles would be brought in unto His people. And so in the process of time, God has saved Saul, who became Paul. He has now dealt with Peter, one of the disciples of the Lord, very proud, very arrogant, very outgoing, very boastful. And Peter said, I've never taken anything unclean. I am a Jew, and nothing has entered into my mouth that is unclean. And God says, "Yep, I want you to take this and eat, because what I have cleansed, don't call it common." You and I this morning, everything God has touches and has touched in the lives of individuals, it's not common any longer. When God does something for us, it becomes very, very special. And so Peter gets the message, and he becomes the servant. Peter was God's choice. Peter was God's instrument to break down that massive barrier that was between the Jew and the Gentile, so that the Gentile could hear the gospel, so that they would be preached unto, because the Scripture reveals to us that it's by the preaching of the Word of God that God has chosen to save those that are lost. Whether they be Jew or Gentile, whether they be red, yellow, black, white, whether they be English or Spanish or whatever nationality you want to call out, God has come and offered salvation to every one of them, but they must hear the gospel. And that barrier of prejudice has to be broken down, and many times very strongly, by the God of heaven. Peter, in the first 9 or 10 chapters of the book of Acts, is really the main character. He's the spokesman for the church. And you can be assured that Peter would not voluntarily said, let's go to the Gentiles. Of course, we know that the Apostle Paul became known and is known as the Apostle to the Gentiles. But God doesn't use Paul. Paul is in that training time now that God is dealing with him in chapter 8. And God is giving him words and giving him message. And he goes to the different areas that God calls him to go. But Peter now is the disciple that opens up the minds and the hearts of these people that are called Gentiles. For you see, God was at work with both men. God was at work with Cornelius, showing and telling him, there's someone that needs to tell you what to do. Just like that Ethiopian eunuch, when Philip came to him, and he finds him reading Isaiah, what we call Isaiah 53. And Philip said to this Ethiopian, he said, do you understand what you read? And this Ethiopian man said, how can I except some man show me or guide me? I'd have never got saved unless somebody showed me or guided me under the gospel story. You'd have never gotten saved unless you heard the gospel. You'd have never been born again unless the Spirit of God pricks your heart and makes you realize you're lost and that you need the Lord. So you can assume that Peter would not intentionally go to the Gentiles without a divine persuasion, and God has just given him this. He did this that we might all have a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have the servant, we have the sinner, and then we have his realization or his salvation. Peter is that instrument that God uses. It is very consistent with the gospel throughout the New Testament. God uses human instrumentality. God uses you and I. Could God write it in the heavens, for God so loved the world that he gave? Sure he could. Could God have the angels come and give to us the message? Could God come in some miraculous, astounding way that we would get our attention, that we would know something about? God could choose any way that he wanted to do to get the gospel out. But you know what? He chose mankind. He chose people. Could have the angel spoken to that spoke to Cornelius? Could he have given this gospel story? Well, sure he could have, but he could not give it with understanding, because angels do not need regeneration. The only people that can give it with understanding is people that have been regenerate, or people that have been saved. I can say, you can say, I know what I used to be, and here's what God has made me. An angel couldn't do that. God could have made it where he would have told Cornelius, but the angel, all he does is instruct him. He said, you send men, and you send them down, and buddy, I tell you what, they made a quick trip from 3 o'clock in the afternoon till somewhere a little after noon, a little less than 24 hours. You find that they have made that journey of 30, 32 or 4 miles from Caesarea to Joppa. It's right down the coast of the Mediterranean there in Israel. And they make that journey, and they come knocking on Peter's door. I doubt they rested very much that night. And so they come, and Peter gives to them, and Peter receives these men of the Lord. And they are of Cornelius. And they said in verse 22, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one that feareth God and a good report among the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. These men from Joppa had the message from the Lord. And the message was, Peter, God told Cornelius to send us because you have the message that we must hear. Peter had the message from God that he had to hear before he would tell the Gentiles what they had to hear. Peter, nothing common. Peter didn't know that very, very soon there was going to be a knock on the door where he stayed as he was praying on that rooftop time of praying. He didn't understand, he did not know that some common people were coming to him. But he hears the story. He hears what they say. And the Bible says in verse 24, and the Mara, after they entered Caesarea. Boy, these fellows have made some journey in two days. So the next day, after they see Peter, they make their journey back from Joppa, and they go north, straight up the coastline of Israel, right beside the Mediterranean Sea, and they come to where Cornelius is, and the Bible says, and Cornelius waited for them. He knew something was going to take place. Not only did he wait for them, the Bible says here that he had gathered together his kinsmen and near friends. So there's a gathering there. There's a group of people there that need to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ, and Peter has the story. And he would have never told it to this group if God hadn't said nothing is common, nothing is unclean. You and I this morning, as a child of God, we're not common. We were unclean. Thank God he has saved us and made us a righteousness in him. And that angel that came to Cornelius and that trance that came to Peter was bringing everything together that they might hear the story of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 30. Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting unto this hour. In the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. And said, Cornelius, thy prayers heard, thy alms are had in remembrance of in the sight of God. So Cornelius is rehearsing to Peter what has taken place. Verse 33. Immediately therefore I sent unto thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore, notice this. Now therefore we are all here present before God. And we're all here to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. So God's worked on both sides. I find he does that all the time. He works every direction. In verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth. And Peter didn't say, not so, Lord, here. Peter didn't say, I've never done this before. Peter didn't say, I've never preached to Gentiles, and I would never do that. But Peter has now an awakening in his heart, and he says, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. What a wonderful story we have. That God does not respect me any more than he does you. That God doesn't look upon Americans any different than he does Africans or Asians or Japanese or Filipino, or you just name it. God doesn't look. We don't have any. We don't have any hold on God. We don't have any access to God that others don't have. And Peter had to realize that God doesn't respect the Jew any more than he does the Gentile. And he begins to preach to these folks there in Joppa. This is Peter's sermon to the Gentiles in the house of Cornelius. And it opened up the gospel that anybody that would hear, that the gospel would be given, that they might be saved. These messengers are willing participants, and they deliver the story. Not all messengers have been willing. Do you know that? All you got to do is read the story of Jonah. He wasn't a willing participant. God said, Jonah, you go down. Go down to Nineveh. You go down to that great city, because if they don't get right with God, I'm going to destroy them. And Jonah said, not me, Lord. And there's an Old Testament account of a Jew going to a Gentile, and he said no. And of course, we know the story of Jonah. And God changed his heart, changed his mind. It's a whole lot different with Peter. He was willing after he saw the vision that God gave. Jonah said, I'm not going. He went the opposite direction. The Bible says he paid the fare and he went somewhere else. Peter, when he came to this understanding, he was not reluctant. He went and he said, I have learned one thing. God does not respect me over you. That's why we have these flags hanging around the building. God doesn't respect us over anybody else. God knows the need of the world. And thank the Lord so much that Jesus died for the world, that He gave His life, He gave His heart, He gave His soul, He gave His blood. God gave His Son gave it all, that we might hear the gospel. And through the process of time, yes, God had a chosen nation, and that nation is still the chosen of God. It's the Jewish nation. And one day they'll be reborn in a day, and they'll see the Lord whom they pierced, and they'll recognize Him. And the Scripture says they'll be born in a day. And God used that nation to bring about the gospel story. And God gave men the story of salvation. And God broke down that barrier of prejudice that Peter would go to Cornelius. God broke down that barrier to Paul that he would go and be the apostle to the Gentiles. And you and I are sitting in Grace Baptist Church this morning because those men were faithful to the call of God. They were faithful to what God gave them. God had this whole thing planned. It wasn't by coincidence. And by the way, nothing is by coincidence with the Lord. It's all planned, it's all charted, it's all coursed out. And we find in the Scripture a number of times when it says in the process of time. As God lets time roll on, He works out His purpose in our lives. So God had planned this whole thing, and Peter is there praying, and the Spirit of God came to Peter and told him, "You got to talk. Nothing common, nothing unclean." Verse 19 says, while Peter thought on the vision. I'm sure Peter's confused. How many times have we been confused at the will of God? And Peter's sitting there, and the Scripture says that he was thinking or meditating on the vision. And the Spirit said, there's three men seeking for you. And verse 20 says, arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing. And the Spirit says, for I have sent them. You see, salvation is a spiritual work. Brother Gallagher touched on it a little bit this morning in Sunday school. Salvation is of the Spirit. If the Spirit of God doesn't tug on our heart, we'll never be born again. If the Holy Spirit doesn't show us the truth of who we are and what we are. It doesn't matter where we go to church. It doesn't matter how religious we are. We may be like Cornelius. We may give everything away. We can have all those good traits. But if we don't know God, if we have a time that we can realize that I knew I was lost, I trust to the Lord, then you're just as lost as you ever were. Doesn't matter what good works you do. Wouldn't it be a shame to do all those good works, be around good people, have good reputation, and at the funeral everybody says how good you are, and they tell the truth. But wouldn't it be a shame if all those words and all those deeds were worth nothing? And instead of going to heaven, you're in a place called hell. It's amazing today how much ignorance there is about people going to heaven. Everybody goes to heaven. You can hear it in the radio, TV. Everybody, when they die, well, they're in heaven looking down upon me. And their life is filled with ungodliness and sin and had no hope of God, no desire of God. I'll tell you what, that type of person does not go to heaven. That's not a good story. That's not an easy story. That's not something we want to talk about, but it's truth. Not everybody goes to heaven. The only people that go to heaven is like this man Cornelius, and it was not because of what he did that was good. It was because somebody preached to him the gospel, and he believed. Same way with me, same way with you, same way with Saul. He heard the story and he believed. There's a lot of things that hinder it, but the gospel is more powerful. A lot of things will impede the work of God. There are barriers that are there. One of them is prejudice. I've heard people, I'd never go there. Why not? Thank God somebody came to me. Thank God Peter went to Cornelius. Thank God Paul went to Corinth. I'm glad God can bring the barriers down. And we are most fortunate in our day that many of these natural barriers that were there in days gone by, we go 30 miles in 25 minutes. It took them a day. And a day and a day back. And Cornelius says, 4 days ago I was fasting. And I saw the vision. And so we find here the gospel is given to everyone that will believe. The more I read the scripture, the more I understand the Bible that the Spirit of God helps me with, the more I believe that Jesus died for the entire world. That He died for me, He died for you. It becomes effective to those that believe. I do believe in the effectual call of the Spirit of God upon an individual. It becomes effective. Somebody asked me if I believed in irresistible grace. I said, one day it became irresistible to me. I resisted no more. I trusted. And thank God He calls by His grace and He calls by His mercy and His love. And you and I have the same story and the same message that Peter had. And we will say, well, I don't have all those prejudices that Peter had. I'll eat a rabbit, I'll eat a squirrel, I'll eat anything. Now, there's some things I don't want to eat, but I guess it would be okay when the Lord said, if I've cleansed it, it's okay. We may not have those prejudices, but we have others. Well, I don't think they could ever know God. We've become prejudiced against people and their attitudes. Why? No need to go over there. No need to talk to them anymore. Who knows, that might be the next time that they might hear the gospel and God break down that barrier. So may we speak and may we tell. Tell the world, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. We have in our song book that song, "Give the winds a mighty voice. Jesus saves. Jesus saves." Telling the world He's real. I'm glad this morning we live in a world that is so fallen to the things of the Lord and getting farther and farther and farther away from God. Our country is becoming more heathenistic every generation, every year. Every period of time, we get farther and farther away from God. But that does not lessen our responsibility to tell them Jesus is the Savior. All the Islamic people, they won't hear. No, they probably won't, but it doesn't lessen our responsibility to tell them whichever way we can. We have some missionaries in some very, very dangerous areas because God has called them to preach the gospel in that particular area. I get letters all the time from some of our missionaries, please do not post this. Please do not talk about this publicly. Please don't email it to somebody else. And they're doing that because they know the danger of where they are. Why would they go there? Surely they know. Oh, Cornelius might be there. Saul might be there. Naaman might be there. That needs to hear the story. And if it's just one person, isn't it worth the journey? If there's just one that will hear, you read of some of these last century missionaries that went and spent years and years and years before anybody ever got saved. But because of that one salvation, maybe 8 years later, now there's a whole group of people that know God. Praise the Lord for faithfulness of God's people to say, I'll let God tear down the prejudice. And by the way, it is God that has to tear it down. I was raised with certain prejudices in my life. You were too. And we have those there, and they're inbred in us. If we can't find it in the Word of God, then we need to get rid of it. We need to tell the story to every individual, every person, every creed, every color. So may the Lord help us to be like Peter and say, I did what the Spirit told me to do. You get home this afternoon if you have some time. Read the whole book, or a whole chapter there, chapter 10. It tells the whole story of Cornelius and getting saved, his family, and receiving the Holy Spirit. Understanding things that they did not understand before. And it was all because Peter went up to pray, and God said, now Peter, here's what you eat. And Peter said, I perceive God doesn't respect us anymore. He said, I've learned that God is no respecter of persons. You know what that means? Tell the world Jesus saves. Let's stand together this morning.